We're holding on Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, about the middle of the, not really the middle, we're holding actually, the eighth line of, the eighth line. We're in the middle of bringing a Braisha, talking about that if a person is chay of a carbon, a chatos, for example, because he ate chaylev or broke Shabbos or any one of 40 or so other things that a person would be chay of chatos for, so we said he can't. We learned from the fact that it says korban noi multiple times in the psukim that it has to be his own korban. He can't be yotzer with his father's korban, even if his father was also chay of the same kind of korban and died. And we said the same thing applies to an animal. The same thing applies to money. And we mentioned in this connection that the concept that if his father was a nazir and left mois stumin, unspecified money, as we've been talking about the last couple of blah, then the son can use it for his nazirus in certain cases, but not when it comes to a chatas. And we said by the same token, a person himself, if he has if he designated money for a korban, or if he designated a korban for himself for one kind of aveda, and now he did a different kind of aveda, he can't repurpose that korban for the other one. It has to be for the original chet that he was going to bring it for. So now the braisa continues. Yochol lo yetzib behema shehifrish la'atzmai min akala ala kala o min hamura ala hamura. You would think, okay, fine, a person can't be yotze with an animal that he separated for himself for a light aveda and instead use it for a different light aveda. So we talked about yesterday the possibilities. Light and serious might mean light might mean anything that's not chayav misses based in, and serious would be anything that is. That's how Tosfos learns. And then the Mefarish learns that light would be anything that's not chayav koris at all. So any of the ones shvuas bitui or shvuas eidos, which don't even involve koris at all. And yet you have to bring a korban or the biyodid for them. Versus chomer would be all the other ones that involve kares or mitzvahs based in. Anyway, so you would think, fine, if a person designated an animal for a korban, and now he wants, in which originally it was for a kala, for a lighter aveda, and now it's for a more serious aveda, minachamura ala kala, from a lighter one to a lighter one, or from a heavier one to a heavier one, or even fine, you could say that we'll say he can't use from one that's kal, from one that's kal to one that's chomer, or one that's chomer to one that's kal. Fine, we can understand that. Chicane, because we can draw an analogy, im hifrish behema ala chaylev, a person designated an animal to bring as a korban because he ate chaylev, behevi ala dom, and instead he brings that korban, instead he wants to bring that korban because afterwards he also ate blood. Now both of those are similar kind of things. Both of them are chayev kores if he did him amazed. Neither of them involves misas basedin. So depending on the different definitions before, we'll either call them both kalos or both hamoros. Anyway, fine, we can understand that. We know that when a person does that, or he designated it because he ate blood, and instead he's bringing it for chaylev, you can understand that such a thing is not going to work, sharei loy mo'al v'loy kippur. Because if he uses that, if he were to use that animal, b'shoigig, if, like this, in other words, we have the concept of me'ilah. And when a person commits me'ilah, when a person takes something of hekdesh and uses it, it depends. If it was b'shoigig or b'mezid, b'mezid is chayav malchus, maybe nisa b'dei shemayim. B'shoigig, but in particular, what happens b'mezid is the kedusha doesn't go off the thing. But if he does it b'shoigig, if he takes, you're talking about an animal for a korban or an object for bedek habayis or whatever it is, if a person uses it b'shoigig, what happens is it loses its kedusha, but now the person has to pay hekdesh, and he has to pay hekdesh and add an extra 25% and bring an osher. So you could say that it's one thing that now on the other hand though, when it comes to an animal, now that works when it comes to something that has kedushas dami. So a person, for example, uses a beam that he donated to Hekdesh, or money that he donated to Hekdesh, or whatever, then it loses its kedusha. An animal, it's not so simple. An animal, which is a tam, doesn't lose its kedusha that easily. Ultimately, it needs to be brought on a carbon. You're not even, you can't really remove the kedusha from it until it's actually good, or until it develops a mum. So therefore, so you could argue that, you know why, if a person designated an animal for one aveira, he can't bring it for a different aveira, fine, the reason is, sharei loy mal v'loy kippur, because after all, if he were to use this animal, then he wouldn't have committed me'ilah, because again, the me'ilah is not really relevant in this case because it's an animal and can't really have its kedusha removed, v'loy kippur. So therefore you could say that now if he does it for mezid, then you could say that, that he's not able to accomplish the kapara with it for a different aveira. Avol, but you could argue that maybe if it was money that he designated for his korban, maybe you could say he could be yotze min akala lakala or min achamura lachamura, min achamura lakala or min akala lachamura. Maybe you can interchange that. So if he has money that was supposed to be for a chatas because he ate chaleb, maybe he can instead repurpose that money to bring a chatas for eating dam and so forth. Because after all, we do find that if a person, when it comes to money, if a person designates himself money to bring a korban for chaylev, the hevi ala dom, and he brings it instead for having eaten blood, but ala dom, the hevi ala chaylev, sharei mo'al the keeper, in that case, we would say he has committed me'ilah, because money doesn't have kedushas agruf, obviously, it only has kedushas domim, and therefore, it is possible for it to lose its kedusha if he uses it b'shoigig. So therefore, we could argue that now if he's using this money b'mezid for a different korban, maybe it should be able to work. No, tamad lomar al chatosa. Therefore, the pasuk says for his chatos, which implies ad she'e korban l'shem chetoy. So his korban has to be for the sake of the actual chet that he originally did and then he originally designated it for. Tosfos discusses it may actually be before we said korbanai al chatosai. Now we're saying al chatosai. We can't be referring to the same pasuk because you can't learn two things from the same pasuk. So we're referring to a different pasuk. You have a few different pasukim over there that use the expression when a person brings the korban al chatosai. So we have enough of them available to douse in these various kinds of things.
Even chatosai has a simple meaning. It's being used for a simple meaning.
Right. No, but that's the thing. It doesn't. It's not needed for its simple meaning, because obviously, what else is he bringing his chatas for? Over and over, the pasuk said the person did a chet, and now he's bringing a korban, and the korban accomplishes kapara al chatosei asher chata. So, what does it need to repeat that over and over again? So, therefore, we have it available for drashas. So the bottom line is, so we had this long braisa that went through this whole point that a person cannot use, he can't use his father's korban, he can't use his own korban that was for one aveira on behalf of a different aveira, you can't even use money that was designated for one aveira on behalf of a different aveira. So, katoni mias behema. Now, in the middle of braisa, we mentioned the case of using a behema. And we had the case where, a person cannot use his father's animals for Nazirus, meaning that if his father died and left over animals that were supposed to be used for his korbanos of Nazirus, the son can't use them. But on the other hand, if his father left over money that's stumin, then the son could use it. And we tried to say, maybe the same way, he can use his father's money for a chatas, for a regular chatas, and we said that no. Because we said before, the behemoths can't really be, that's the thing. So we said before, so if the behemoths are the appropriate types, then they're not stumin, because right, by definition, one is going to be for each one. And if we said, on the other hand, a point we said earlier in the sugya, according to Rav Nachman, we said, or according to Rav Huna, rather, we said animals, if they're the wrong kind of animals, for example, there's three cows or whatever, they would still be considered to a certain extent mefuroshin in the sense, because we said you have to keep them around for a while. You can't sell them right away precisely because they're tumimim. If they're balin mumim, then Rav Nachman had said it's different. But if they're tumimim, you can't sell them right away. You have to keep them around for a while. And then we had a discussion in Tosfos. Is the problem that during that time you might at some point designate them as a chatos, or is it just in and of itself the fact that you're keeping them around for a while is itself a problem?
And what's about
Okay, so he's not transgressing his word. He has to bring karbanos, but he has to bring his own karbanos rather than using ones that he inherited from his father.
But the ones that are tmim and they're hanging out, it could take a year, 2 years.
That's the point. In other words, therefore, we consider it like stumim. So now, if the person, we consider it like mefurashim to a certain extent. Now, if the person dies, then meanwhile, if he's alive, he's going to have to just bring other karbanos, and later on, he'll have to sell these and use them to buy other karbanos. If he dies, that's when we said that they're considered chataris hamesis. Anyway, so now the point is, the Braisa, again, in the middle, was trying to draw an analogy between Nizirus and a regular Chatas, and saying the same way as you can't use your father's animals for Nizirus, but you can use your father's money, Mois Stumim, for Nizirus. Shouldn't it be the same way with a Chatas, where at least if your father did something that made him high of Chatas and separated, he designated money for it, and then he died, you should be able to use that money for your own Chatas? And the answer is that no. So,
no compassion
because we said halacha ibn Nazir. But anyway, the point is, my lava fiddle balas katani mias behema. Now we mentioned the braisa in the braisa, an animal. My lava fiddle balas mum. Shouldn't we assume that it means an animal of any kind, whether tamim or bal mum? So how does that fit with what Rav Nachman said before, that if the animal is a bal mum, then we consider it like money, and then the same halacha l'moshim Sinai that applies to Nizirus as far as money that's stumim, that you can use it after all, or rather that goes to Nedava in that case, that if the father died, it goes to Nedava. Shouldn't the same thing apply? So on the other hand, though, the Braise, and Rav Nachman had said the same thing applies to animals that are balim mumim, because you can sell them right away. But since this Braise is just mentioning animals without specifying, then it sounds like it means any animals are can't be used, meaning that they're going to have to go, meaning that they're going to have to be chataris hamesis. So my lava fila balas mum, shouldn't we assume that it means even a balas mum? And the answer is loy tmima. No, what it means is specifically when the animals are tamim. Ava balas mum mai kistuma damya. So what are you going to tell me to make it fit with what Rav Nachman is saying? A bal mum is going to be considered like stuma. My irya to katani mois shehif rishaviv. Then why is the Braisa mentioning the case where his father separated money, listing balas mum? Let it say balas mum instead, which would be a bigger chiddush. And the answer is, like the Gemara answered before on a previous Braisa, hochinami. As a matter of fact, that's what it is. Dilamai chazya, what can a bal mum be used for? L'dami. It can only be used for its value because it itself can't be brought as a korban. Good. Dummy. Hainu mois. Well then, in that case, it's another way of expressing money. In other words, yes, we still stick with what Rav Nachman is saying. When we say mois, Rav Nachman is saying anything that can be converted right away to cash is considered like mois. And since an animal, bal mum, is like that, and since the only thing it can be used for is cash value, because it can't be brought as a korban, so therefore it has exactly the same status of mois. And yes, the same way as Mois Stumus were saying, if the Nazir dies, then that money all goes to Nedava, even though there was Chatas money mixed in, and normally we should have said the Chatas money would go to Yad HaMelech, so it is also with animals that are Balim.
And we don't say that if it's Balim, it should go as Nedava?
That's exactly what we say. We say that then if the Nazir designated animals that were Balim Mum for his Korbanus, and then he died, then we say all of them go to Nedava. So we say the value of all three of them goes to Nedava.
Because he can't sell them and bring other korbanos.
So he can't sell them and bring his korbanos Nazir with them, right? They all go to Nedava for the Bais HaMikdash, for Olus, for Kayetz and Mizbeach, and he's going to have now to put together new money in order to buy korbanos. Yeah. Well, no, we're talking about he's dead. He's dead. There's no korbanos for him to bring.
The father's dead.
The father's dead. The son is going to have to raise money for his own korbanos. Yeah.
So only by money
is there the concept, and we're going to discuss it later on, Daf Lamed, that the son is able to use his father's money towards his Nazirus. Yeah, we're going to talk about Halacha ibn Nazir. We're talking about Halacha ibn Nazir. Okay. Mishnah continues.
It's not a big chiddush to say that the mother asked if she said the
Bal Mum. Well, the answer, that's what the Gemara is answering. It didn't need to say Bal Mum. When it says Mois, it means anything which is like Mois in that regard, including a Bal Mum, because it can be right away sold. You don't have to keep it around. Okay. So now, the previous Mishnah talked about a case where a woman made the neder of Nazirus, and then her husband was made for that neder. So we talked about then, so that led us into the whole discussion, what do we do with the animals or the money that was designated for the korbanos, and that led us into this whole thing of chatoris hamesis and nedava and all that.
She was the one that designated?
So we said if the animals belong to her husband to begin with, then nothing happens. She doesn't have the right to, but if they belong to her, and we discussed on Kafdalanam and Beis, how it's possible for her to have animals of her own, then we said that you have the cases of nedava or chatoris hamesis, etc. So the Mishnah continues. Nizrak alayo echad min adamim. What happens now if the blood of one of the korbanos has already been sprinkled on her behalf? So again, she's bringing three korbanos at the end of her nizira successfully. So now, once even one of them has been sprinkled, the husband is not able to be mefer anymore. In other words, we can't say he can be mefer, and now it should prevent her from having to shave and bring the rest of her korbanos. We're not going to say that, because when can the husband be mefer a neder? So we learned in Nedarim, only when there's inri nefesh. At this point, once the blood of one of the korbanos has been sprinkled, she's already allowed to drink wine. We're going to have later on in a later parak of our Masechta, we're going to deal with the question of at what point during the procedure of the korbanos and the shaving is she allowed to drink wine. We're going to have two different opinions about it. But right now, our Mishnah is going according to the opinion, and we're going to see in the Gemara, that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah is going according to the opinion that once even one of the korbanos, the blood has been sprinkled, then she's allowed to drink wine. Well, then there's no more in your nefesh. So therefore, what about the fact that she's going to have to shave? As the Gemara is going to say, she can instead wear a wig for the time being. We'll get into that in the Gemara. So therefore, it's not in her nefesh anymore. Therefore, the husband can't be made for
it. She has to cut all the hair.
Yeah, no, Nazar has to shave off all their hair. Yeah.
That means it is in nefesh for her.
No, but that's the thing. So we're going to answer it's not in her nefesh because she can wear a wig for the time being. So therefore, it's not so much in her. We'll see about that in the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva says, no, even if one of the animals was only shechted, even if the blood hasn't been sprinkled yet, you the husband can't be mefer, because at this point it's going to be ruining kodshim. Because the Gemara is going to say, specifically we're talking about that it was the chatas that they shechted. Now most korbanos, if you do one of the avodas of the korban shaloi lishma, then the korban is still kosher. You're just not yotzer with it. So you bring an oila, for example, and the person who's shechting it, or the person who's sprinkling its blood, or whatever, any of the four basic avodas, has in mind that it's not an oila, but rather a shlamim, let's say, we still continue bringing it. The regular dinim of oila still apply. You burn it on the mizbeach. If it was a korban that's to be eaten, the korbanim still eat it, etc. All it is the person is not yotze, and he has to bring another korban. But a chatos is different. A chatos and also the korban pesach are different. If you do any of the avodas shalom l'shma, the korban is possible. So now Rabbi Akiva is saying, once the chatas was shechted, what are you going to do with it? You can't finish the avodas shalom l'shma, then it's going to be possible. You can't finish it l'shma because then there's no nizirus anymore. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says that the husband can't be mefer once the chatas was shechted. Tosfos actually wonders, so what would we say? Would we say that if he was mefer for her, is it that Rabbi Akiva is saying he shouldn't be mefer because of that? But if he did, then look, he still has the right minatorah to be mefer for her nedarim, so therefore he'd be able to. Or would we say that maybe the chachamim have the ability to block his hafara because of this? After all, it's a shev bal taser, it's a passive thing. The chachamim are telling him, don't be mefer for your nether, don't be mefer for her nether. Therefore, maybe he doesn't have the ability to do that, which actually Achronim discuss on the face of it. It's not Shev Val Tasa, because in practice, the Kohenim are continuing with the Avodah. They're sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach. They already shechted it, fine, but they're still continuing with Kumbah Seis. They're still continuing with things that are done to the Korban. But anyway, Rabbi Akiva is saying that therefore, because of that, because of Hefsit Kodshim, he says, is a reason to not do that. Actually, by the way, the Yerushalmi on our Mishnah points out something else. When we said that he can't be mefer after one of the blood was sprinkled, or after Rabbi Akiva says after one of them was shechted, if the korbanos belong to him, then anyway, there's a reason that he can be mefer, because dvarim shebeina levena. Because after all, they're his animals. So we have to be talking about, again, that these are her animals, and now he's mefer. So now, if he would have been mefer after the first blood was sprinkled, at that point, again, there's no inri nefesh. There was never any dvarim shebeina levena, because it was her korbanos. And therefore, that's why the Tanakhama said he can't be mefer. Rabbi Akiva, meanwhile, again, is saying that he can't be mefer for a different reason, because of hefsed kodshim. The Yerushalmi actually brings up a point and before Shchita? Didn't we say before that if there were animals designated and they were her animals, the Chatas is going to have to be a Chatas Amesa? So you also have Hefsid Kodshim. Why isn't Rabbi Akiva concerned about that? And the answer is fine, but at least as long as the animal wasn't Shechted yet, it's not really, it doesn't really belong to Hashem yet, so to speak. So therefore, so we're not gonna prevent him from being made for at that point. Only after we shechted it, and now it already has Shem Gavoya, it has the name of Hashem attached to it, because now it's been shechted as a korban. Now at this point, Rabbi Akiva doesn't want the husband to be made for her anymore. Continues the Mishnah. Vamedbar mamurim b'tiglachas atara. Now, when is this talking about that the husband can't be mefer after one of the bloods was sprinkled, according to the Tanakhama? B'tiglachas atara, when you're talking about that she's shaving and bringing her korbanos because she successfully completed her nezirus and now she's tahor. So now, at this point, again, once one of the bloods was sprinkled, there's no more inui nefesh. And again, since it was her animals, there's no dvorim shebeina levena. So therefore, there's no grounds for the husband to be mefer anymore. And by the way, the Rosh answers Tosfos' question that Tosfos is wondering whether in fact the husband can be mefer, or is it that the Chachamim are just blocking him? The Rosh points out that, what do you think about it? The Tanakhama is saying, Eini yochel lahofer, and obviously the Tanakhama doesn't mean the Chachamim are blocking him. It means that there's no grounds for him to be made for anymore. Therefore, we can assume that in Rabbi Akiva's, Eini yochel lahofer also means there's no grounds for him to be made for at all. In other words, he can't be made for, not that if he's made for it works, but rather that the Chachamim prevent him from doing that.
So in other words,
he can't be mefer, but in the original case of the mission, he can't be mefer on the Doraisa level, because nothing more to be mefer. Here, in the case of Rabbi Akiva, we're saying he can't be mefer on the Rabbanon level, because the Chachamim are preventing him from doing it. Not that if he does it, the Diyavid is mefer. So the Mishnah continues. So Bamedram Tiglach is a Tara. So this only applies if she's shaving and bringing korbanos because of Tara. But if it's that she's shaving because she became Tomei and now she needs to bring korbanos for that and start her Mizirus over, Yofer, now the husband can be Mefer. Even after the blood was sprinkled, Shur Yocholoyma, because he's able to say, Efshi Be'isher Menuvelis. I don't want a woman who's unattractive, and unattractive we mean over here that she's still going to have to be a Nazira, she's still going to be deprived of wine, so that's called for our purposes Menuvelis. Menuvelis, in other words, doesn't mean we're going to talk about in the Gemara about wigs, about the husband maybe objecting to a wig. We'll see about that. That's something else. But Isha Menuvelis means over here that he's saying that after all, she's going to have to start her Nezirus over again, so she's going to have Inui Nefesh for another whole month or more. She's not going to be able to drink wine. So I don't want that, therefore I have grounds to be made for her. Because she's starting again, so she became tummy. Because she became tummy, that's what we're saying. Yeah. On the other hand, Tosfos says that, why is the Mishnah saying he actually be Ishur Minervelis? But the Mishnah stays straight out that he can be made for because of Inui. So rather, Tosfos says, no, what it means is like this. We're referring back to what Rabbi Akiva said. Rabbi Akiva said once one of the animals was shechted, he can't be made for it because you have hefsid kodshim. Because what happens now, that we can say she is actually usur to drink wine until all the other animals are shechted and the blood is sprinkled. So you have a short amount of inri nefesh, but Rabbi Akiva is saying that that's not a bad, even though there is a few more minutes of inri nefesh, still we're worried about hefsid kodshim, therefore we don't want him to do that. But here, when it's Tiglachas Tuma, you have a long Inui Nefesh, because she's going to have a whole nother month, or however long her Nezirus was. Then Rabbi Akiva agrees that I don't want an Inui Godel, a large Inui. And that's the Mishnah is expressing that with the words Isha Menuvelis. Rav Meir Omer, and there's different Girsois over here, whether it's Rav Meir or Rebbe. Anyway, after Tiglachas Atara Yoffer, even when she was shaving and bringing her korbanos because of Tara, she finished her Nezirus successfully, still the mayor disagrees with Tanakama and says Yoffer, the husband can still be Mefer, even if they brought all the korbanos. Shur Yocholoyma, because the husband can say, Efshi Be'isha Megalachas, I don't want my wife to have to shave, because after all, after she brings the korbanos, she's going to have to shave, and therefore, until she actually shaves, he can be Mefer the Nezirus in order to avoid that she shouldn't have to do that. As we'll see in the Gemara, about a matter involving a wig. Where does she just have the right to say, okay, I'll just wear a wig and you'll have to deal with it, or not? We'll see in the Gemara.
Okay. ever, even the shaving, we were learning about another Shimshon windows.
Another Shimshon is a special case.
They don't have to cut them.
That was another Olam, actually, right. But another Olam, only, according to Tosfos, only trims. According to the Rambam, he still shaves as well. But a regular Nazir, which is what we're talking about, shaves completely down to the root, yeah. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Masnissin deloy k'rabbi Eliezer. Now our Mishnah, the Tanakama of our Mishnah, who says once one of the blood is sprinkled, he can't be made for, because at that point there's no more inri nefesh, or like Tosfos said, maybe even you could say there's a few more minutes of inri nefesh, but that's it. Can't be like Rabbi Eliezer. To eat Rabbi Eliezer, because if our Mishnah went like Rabbi Eliezer, ha'amet tiglachas ma'akemis. He says until she actually shaves, it's still ma'akev and she still can't drink wine. So in other words, the Tanakama had said, and we're going to have later on, the Chachamim say that once one of the bloods is sprinkled, she's already allowed to drink wine even before she's shaved. Whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to wait till the actual shaving. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you still have inri nefesh until she shaves. The kivin de la gilcha asira b'chamra. Since she hasn't shaved yet, she's still also to drink wine. The kivin de isla nivul. So now you still have that inri nefesh, motzi mefer, then the husband is able to be mefer. So if our Mishnah had been appointed to Rabbi Eliezer, it wouldn't have said that once one of the bloods is sprinkled, he can't be mefer. It would have said once she shaves, he can't be mefer. Because only at that point, according to Rabbi Eliezer, can she drink wine.
Oh.
Yeah. Over hopefully, so the underlying machloikas is like this, between the Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva. Tani di dan sover, the Tanakama holds, Kiven de Izrika Lodam, once the blood has been sprinkled on her behalf, La Alta Shari Bachamra, she's able to drink wine right away. Baha less one nibble, so now there's no nibble, now there's no inri nefesh, therefore there's no grounds for the husband to be maker. But Rabbi Akiva Sovra, Filo Ishtachitas Kehema, Rabbi Akiva holds, even if the animal was shechted, Eina Yochel Lahofer, he still can't be maker, Mishum Hefzed Kodjim. Again, because of the problem of hefsed kodshim, because now you're going to have a korban that you can't do anything with, because now you can't, because as the Gemara is going to establish soon, we're talking about the chatas specifically over here, and you can't continue the avodah of it. The Mefarish also points out the meat of it won't be able to be eaten, because a chatas, after all, the owner is supposed to be accomplishing a kapara with it, and the kohenim eat the meat, and that completes the kapara. Here, because it's a chatas, they're not going to be able to. Because if the husband is maker for her after the chatas is shechted, then the kohenim are not going to be able to eat the meat, and therefore that's also bizoyan of kodshim, and it's going to end up becoming noiser.
It can't be because it's a disqualified.
Because it's a disqualified chatas, yeah.
He's not shedin avera.
No, it's not a matter of an avera. So we learned before that, yes, there is a slight avera involved in making the neder of nezirus, but that only works by chatas or chatas, yeah. Okay, the Gemara continues. Maski for Rab Zera. So Rab Zera asks on that. So Rab Zera is asking on that. Why would we say that there's hefsed kodshim over here? Why would we say that we can't continue the avodah of the korban? At this point, the Gemara doesn't know that Rabbi Akiva is referring specifically to the chatas. We have three korbanos over here, after all. Oyla, shlomim, and chatas. So how do we know that Rabbi Akiva is referring specifically to the chatas? When it comes to the oyla and the shlomim, at least, Rab Zera asks, what's the problem? You can still sprinkle the blood shaloy lishman. Have in mind that it's a different kind of korban, that it's a different kind of korban. That's not the korban of a nazir. And actually Tosfos and the Rosh point out, you wouldn't even really need to have anything particular in mind. There's no nazirus over here, so you just continue it stam automatically, if not for the korbanus of a nazir anymore, because there's no nazir over here, because the husband was maker. So why don't they just continue the avodah? The yatur bos b'achila, and it will in fact make the meat mutter to eat, in the case of the shlomim, that is. Mi loy tanya, haven't we learned in a braisa in a similar vein? Kibse atzeres, the sheep that are brought on Shavuos. You have two sheep, so you have among the special korbanos on Shavuos, you have a korban musaf. In addition, you have the shtei alechem, which are made out of chometz, and out of wheat and made out of chometz. And together with them, you bring two sheep. And the din is that the sheep and the bread go together. Only once you shech the sheep, then the bread becomes kodesh. Here we're not focusing on the bread. Here we're focusing on the sheep themselves. So the sheep themselves are shlomim of the tzibur. This is when we say in Ezer Mekoyman, zivche shalmei tzibur, this is what we're referring to. But this is the only shlomim of the tzibur. Anyway, so the braisa says, if you shechted these sheep on Shavuos, not the Shmon, so you shechted them having in mind it's a different korban, or you shechted them before the time, meaning before Yom Tov, or after the time, in all those cases, Adam Yizorek Ba'abasa Yachol, the blood is still sprinkled on the Mizbeach, the meat is still eaten. All it means is the Tzibra was not Yotze, the mitzvah of bringing this korban. V'imhoise Shabbos lo Yizorek. On the other hand, if Yom Tov came out on Shabbos, then you should not sprinkle the blood on, then you should not sprinkle. So in the case when it's on a weekday, Tosfos points out that there is the point that the Gemara discusses elsewhere in Beitza and in other places, whether you can bring the Dorim and the Dovas on Yom Tov. So fine, even though, you're still allowed to sprinkle the blood either way, depending whether we say Dorim or Adavis, can you go on Yom Tov, will depend whether you can offer the Imurim on the Mizbeach and eat the meat right away, or do you have to wait until Matzah Yom Tov? Fine, but if it's Shabbos, Lo Yizrik, you shouldn't sprinkle the blood, that's because, and then, what, not, no, it's not Makkel Patish, well, sort of, it's like Tikkun, you're fixing up the korban and making it able to be eaten, and therefore Midrabanan, you're not supposed to do that. So if it's Shabbos, you shouldn't sprinkle the blood. V'im Zorak, but if he did Hurtza, then the korban is acceptable because it was only an Issu Dirabanan. Lahakter Imurim La'erev, and in that case, you're going to offer the Imurim and the Mizbeach only in the evening, only Matzah Shabbos, because Shabbos, for sure, you can't bring the Dorim and the Davis. So even if you were over and sprinkled the blood on Shabbos, you're still going to have to wait until that night to bring the Imurim and the Mizbeach. Anyway, the point is, so we have an example over there where a korban, because we started the avodah of a korban shalom l'shma, you shechted shalom l'shma, and we still say you continue the avodah of it, and you even go as far as eating the meat. So wouldn't it be the same thing over here? Why is Rabbi Akiva saying that you have hefsid kodshim? You continue the avodah, and what's the problem? Fine, the person is not yotze, they're korbanis, but fine, in this case, there's nothing to be yotze, it wasn't made for anyhow.
Why shalom l'shma?
Why is it? Because now there's no Nazirus. So now, because he's a maker. By the way, Tosfos points out, now what about though, I mean, we had the various cases before where the wife was, where the husband was mefer, or where the person died, and we ended up saying that we bring the Ola as an Ola and the Shlomim as a Shlomim. The difference is though, and even though there's no Nazirus anymore, the difference is Tosfos says there it all took place before the Shechita. By the time of the Shechita, the Neder was already Mufer or whatever. So now everything is going to be done Shalom Lishman. Here, where at the time of the Shechita, it was still the Shema, there was still Nazirus. And now by the time of the Zrika, the Nazirus is gone. Then the Gemara thought. So now the Mishnah had told us that Rabbi Akiva says you stop there because of Hefsid Kodshim, but the question is why? Even if the Shechita took place the Shman, you can still continue one of the later Avodas Shalom Shman. So the Gemara answers, Ida Shachat Ola Ishlamim Hakanam. You know what? If the korban that had been shechted so far was the Ola or the Shlamim, then you're right. In fact, you could do that. Then you could in fact do that. You could continue the korban shalom l'shman. Because after all, it's true. An olah or shlomim that's brought shalom l'shman is still kosher. So then there's no hefsid kodshim. So Rabbi Akiva would agree. If the olah or the shlomim was shechted, then it's true. We're going to say that there's no problem. You can continue the avodah of the korban, and there's no hefsid kodshim. In the case of the olah, you'll still burn it on the mizbeach. In the case of the shlomim, the owners and the kohenim will still eat it. They just won't yotze the korbanos of nazirus. They're going to have to burn other ones. That's what we're saying. Here we're talking about where they shechted the chakas first. Kedetznan, as we learn later on in the sefer, im gilach al achas mishlosh ben yotza. That if the nazir shaved after one of the korbanos was brought, then he was yotze. Lahatchila, as we're going to learn later on, he's supposed to wait until all three korbanos are brought and only then shave. But you could have that. And we do have later on, we're going to have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar arguing which one is supposed to be the Hatchila first. Rabbi Elazar says the Chatas is first, Rabbi Yehuda says the Shlomim is first. But whatever the case, everybody agrees that if you did them out of order, you're still Yotze. So if the Chatas was shechted first, that is when Rabbi Akiva is talking about over here. Once that Chatas is shechted, now you have Hefsid Kodshim. Because a Chatas, unlike an Olo or a Shlomim, unlike most Kobanas, if it's brought Shalom L'shma, is completely possible. So if the chatas is shechted, shalai lishma, or if it was shechted lishma, now you're going to sprinkle the blood, shalai lishma, then you're not going to be able to do anything further with the korban. You're not going to be able to offer the emurim on the mizbeah. The korim are not going to be able to eat the meat. You're not going to be able to do any of the other avodas. And therefore that's called hefsed kodshim, and therefore Rabbi Akiva wants to prevent that. But if the oiler or the shlomim was the first one that was shechted, then yes, Rabbi Akiva would agree that the husband can be made for, because then there's no problem. You can finish bringing it as an oiler, or you can finish bringing it as a shlomim.
He gets burnt the fish with the shlomim, right?
What?
The heel gets burnt.
The heel gets burnt under the pot with the shlomim. Okay. The Mishnah had continued. Bamed Marum Tiglachas Tara. So we said, when is all this whole discussion going about only if it was Tiglachas Tara? Avol Tiglachas Tuma. But if the wife is shaving and bringing korbanos because she became tamei, Yofer, then we said the husband can still be mefer mifnei yocholayme iefshi beishim minuvelas, because he can say, I don't want my wife to have to be deprived of wine for a few more weeks. But Rav Meir and Rav Tiglachas Tara Yofer, and then Rav Meir continued and said that even if it was Tiglachas Tara, the husband can be mefer mifnei yocholayme iefshi beishim galachas, because he can say, I don't want my wife to have to shave. So what is the Tana Kama? What is the Tana Kama answer to that? Isn't shaving also considered something unattractive? The answer is El Malach. He can answer you. After the pay of, she can wear a wig instead. So therefore, it's not considered so much new.
It's called Malachis.
What?
It's called Malachis.
And pay of it means a wig, yeah. Pay of Nachris means a strange edge of the hair, yeah. Because like strange, it's not her own hair, yeah. Rav Meir Sova, whereas Rav Meir holds the Peya Nachris, Aidi Gezuama. Yeah, but the problem is with a wig, it becomes dirty because you have, at least it's one thing, if there's sweat and dirt in it that comes from her own hair, fine, the husband may not mind that much. But here, where sweat and dirt collecting it, that's not even from her own body, just from the outside. So therefore, he finds Loy Nichale, so he doesn't like that. Therefore, he would prefer that his wife not wear a wig, but rather have her own hair. There is, by the way, usually in Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, all you have is just the dry references to Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, where these halachas are discussed. Here you have an interesting editorial comment by the compiler of it, Rabbi Yeshua Boyaz. He says that it seems from here, since we're talking about the woman wearing a wig, it seems to imply that a married woman is allowed to wear a wig, and that's considered a valid covering of her hair. Now, on the other hand, there's Trubas Be'er Sheva from one of the early Achronim and the next generation after him. He strongly disagrees with that and says, absolutely not. A woman cannot cover her hair with a wig and it be considered a covering in halacha, because then it looks just like her own hair. What the Gemara means over here is she can wear a wig and underneath it, and over it, she'd wear a hat or a tichel or what have you, but not that she can go out with her hair, with her wig uncovered by itself. So yes, it remained a machloikas among the Achronim for generations. The Alter Rebbe paskins that a woman is allowed to wear a wig and you're allowed to say Krishna in front of it and it's not considered an error. Other Achronim disagree with it. The Rebbe, we know, was very much in favor of women wearing wigs rather than tichels, because the Rebbe pointed out in a number of sichas, particularly Rebbe, that was focusing on this a lot in Tokshin Yer Dalet in 1954, but also in later years, that the thing is, with a hat or a tichel or whatever, if a woman feels embarrassed that she's covering her hair, it's very easy for her to remove it, and then she's sitting there with her head uncovered, as opposed to a wig, is not so, she won't be so embarrassed in the first place, therefore she's more likely to leave it on. On the other hand, yes, many other Rabbanim hold that no, that a wig based on the Be'er Sheva, that a wig is not a valid head covering for a woman, and if she's going to wear a wig, she still has to wear a tichel or a shetel over it. And in those communities, they actually prefer to begin with that the women wear a shetel or wear a tichel or a snood or what have you, and not a wig at all. And if they do, and you even have in Satmar and in some other communities where they actually shave, and then where they actually shave in order that no hair should stick out. One of the things that Eber pointed out in those sichas in 1954 is another problem with a tichel is, besides the problem that she may easily remove it if she's embarrassed, there's also the problem a lot of times some hair sticks out of it. So in Satmar, they avoid that problem by shaving their hair down to the scalp. On the other hand, based on our Gemara over here, that the husband can say, I don't want my wife to shave, then that's not so simple either. But our Gemara over here, these two lines of Gemara over here, are a major source for this whole question of wigs versus tichels and shaving versus letting her own hair grow.
Actually, that also points out that the purpose of a shetel is not to, if it looks like her hair, it has to be covered. That's it.
So that's the thing. So in the Velt, they say, in much of the Velt, they say that if the shetel looks like her hair, then she does have to cover it, if nothing else, because of Marisai. the Rebbe held that not. So that the, and again, ultimately based on Rabbi Yeshua Boyaz over here, he's learning from our Gemara over here that it's valid for a woman to wear a wig with nothing else over it. That itself is considered a valid head covering, and the Alter Rebbe passed that way as well. Okay, Mishnah says, Ha'ish madir es b'noi b'nazir. A father can declare his young son a nazir. And that can be either that he says that my son should be a nazir, or that he tells his son that he should accept on himself nazirus. And this works when the son is below bar mitzvah. But a woman cannot do that. Gilead Ashas refers over here to Radak at the beginning of Shmuel, when you have Hannah, it says, made a neder, and she said that if I have a baby boy, then I'll make him a nazir. How is she able to do that based on our Mishnah over here? And the Radak discusses over there, does that mean that she told Elkanah to make him a nazir, but the Pasuk doesn't say that anywhere, or what's going on over there? One answer that Mephoshim give is maybe Elkanah afterwards tells her, Asiya toy veinayich, do what's good in your eyes, so that amounts to him approving of her nether, and therefore that him, and then him saying that he's gonna raise Shmuel like that, so therefore that amounts to the father declaring the zeros. But actually, there is a sicha, actually, and there's something somewhat similar that Sam Sofer says at the end of Ar Masechta, where the last Mishnah of Ar Masechta says that Shmuel was a nazir, and there's a sicha, there's a hadron of the Rebbe, and there's something similar from the Sam Sofer that discusses that what it is they were mechanichim, we talked about this earlier, they were mechanichim in such a way that he should realize on his own when he gets older that he has to accept nazirus on himself. So even though the pasuk doesn't say so in so many words that Elkanah told him to become a nazir, but that would be the, that they educate him in a way that even if he's not technically a nazir yet when he's a boy, but that once he becomes bar mitzvah, he should fully accept it on himself. And he did.
Was there also a tshiva that he...
No, there was no tshiva from Hashem. That was Chana's own personal matter. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. On the other hand, and we'll see in the Gemara why the difference between the man and the woman. Ketzad, now what's an example that, though, that Nazirus wouldn't work? Gilach, if the son himself shaves his hair, showing that he doesn't want to be a Nazir, or his relatives did that, and there's a discussion how close these relatives have to be in order to be considered relatives for this purpose, and we'll see in the Gemara why the relatives are able to be Moshe anyway. Or Micha, or just if he protests, or if the relatives protest, in all those cases, then the Nazirus goes away because it's only, as the Gemara is going to say, the father has the right, from Halacha Moshe Sinai, or for Chinuch, to say that his son should be a Nazir, but it can be overridden by this Macha. Tosfos also brings another one. If the son develops Shtei Cyrus before the Nazirus is over. So let's say the father had said that my son will be a Nazir for the next 30 days, and during those 30 days he develops Shtei Cyrus. So then it also would be bottle because the father doesn't have the ability to do that for his son after he's bar mitzvah. And Tosfos, on Mishnah doesn't mention that, and Tosfos discusses a couple of reasons why that is. Anyways, continues the Mishnah. So now if the father declared a Nazirus, and now the son or his relatives were Moshe, and now there's not going to be a Nazirus, so now again, what happens as far as the animals for the Korbanos? Hoysele behemim ufreshes, so if there were already animals designated for the Korbanos, then like we said before, Chatas Tomos, the Chatas is going to have to die, because the Chatas Amesa. The Ola will be brought as an Ola, the Shlomim will be brought as a Shlomim, and like before, the Shlomim will be eaten only for one day, because that's how Shalmei Nazir are, even though now there's no more Nazirus. And they don't require bread, because the bread, or the waving of the bread, takes place only when there's Nazirus, and now there's no Nazirus. If there was money that was sosum, as we learned before, yipul the nedava, and it all goes to nedava, because again, that was part of that halachah moshe Sinai that we said before, that it goes to nedava, or Rish Lakish should learn it from a pasuk. If the money was mefurashim, then like we learned before, mechatas yochel the Yamamelach lenenin v'loy ma'olin, the money of the chatas will have to be thrown into the Yamamelach. You're not allowed to have enough medirabanan. But Me'ilah doesn't apply to it, because Me'ilah only applies to things that could be brought as Kodshe Hashem, as Korbanos or Tibetic Abayis, and here it's not. That money is supposed to be thrown in Yalamelech. Dmei Ola, Yavir Ola, the money of the Ola will still be used to buy an Ola, because an Ola you can bring voluntarily. Or Molen Behen, the Ila will apply to it, like any money of an Ola. Dmei Shlomim, Yavir Shlomim, the money of the Shlomim will be used to buy a Shlomim. And again, V'nechol Niyamecha, Bein Tonin Lechem, that Shlomim will be eaten for only one day, and they won't go with bread, because again, there's no Nezirus over here to bring the Shlomim for.
Oh, is it bread?
When there's Nezirus, then there's 20 loaves of bread with it. But now, when there's nothing. Okay, so the Gemara
is
it's just being brought as a Shalmei Nedava, but with the difference that it has the deadline of a Shalmei Nazir. Which is one day. So the Gemara says, Ish ein avol ish aloy. So you're telling me that only a man has the ability to make his son a Nazir, but a woman does not. My time. Now, why is that? So, Rav Yochanan Amar Halacha Ibn Nazir. So, Rav Yochanan says this is one of those halachas, the Moshe B'Sinai, that applies specifically to a Nazir, where only the father has this ability in the Torah. Rav Yossi, Rav Hanina Omar, Omar Ishlokish, Rav Yossi B'Chanina says in the name of Ishlokish, the reason is, the reason is because you want the father to educate his son in mitzvahs. So, therefore, so it's only Midrabbanan that he has the ability to do with that. Mephoshim point out, by the way, I mean, it's not, you know, a mitzvah. I mean, we learned before that it's actually, there's a little bit of an iser in making a neder of nezirus. We said it's considered like bona bama, the hikr of all of korban. Okay, but still, what the Rosh explains actually, the mitzvah is you want to educate your son for precious and estapos. You want to educate him to learn to be able to hold himself back from his titles. So this is part of that. So this is part of that thing. So in that case, wouldn't it apply to a woman as well, according to the Shlokish reason? And the answer is Kasava, Ish Chayev Lachanech. But the mitzvah is Ve'ina Isha Chayev Lachanech as Bina. The Shlokish holds that only a man has the Chiyuv of Chinuch, a woman does not. Now, technically, that is the halacha. Technically, the Chiyuv of Chinuch is only on the father. Practically speaking, though, the mother is involved as well, and often more so than the father, but the technical mitzvah of Chinuch is really only incumbent on the father. So therefore, this din de rabbanon would not apply to the mother. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Bishleim alor Abyechanan da'ma halacha ibn Nazir." We can understand easily, according to Abyechanan, that it's a special halacha when it comes to a Nazir. Am tula hachi bnoi ein bitoloi. Therefore, that explains why only his son is he able to make a Nazir, but not his daughter, because again, halachas l'mishum misinai are phrased a certain way, and they include only a certain thing, and you can't draw analogies from them to other things. So if halacha l'mishum misinai was that a father can make his son a Nazir, then we infer from that it means not a daughter. Otherwise, halacha I would have said so.
The
Lashon is benign.
Not children.
Yeah. Av elol reshlokish, I feel a bit toy, but according to reshlokish, if it's a matter of chinuch, shouldn't apply to the daughter as well. And the answer is kasava, reshlokish holds, benoi chayv lachanchay, bitoy ene chayv lachanchay. Reshlokish holds that a man only has a chiyuv to do chinuch for his son, not for his daughter. Now that is a Tosfos discusses over here a little bit about the ins and outs of the mitzvahs of chinuch. First of all, there's a difference between the chiyuv that the father has versus that anybody else has. Anybody else has. You see a child doing an issur, you don't necessarily have to stop him, but the father does because he has a mitzvah of chinuch. On the other hand, Tosfos says, for example, how can Rish Lakish be saying that there's no chiyuv to educate, to be mechanech your daughters? What about, for example, by Yom Kippur, you have a mitzvah that during a few years before Bar Bas Mitzvah, they start fasting gradually on Yom Kippur, and then the Mishnah talks over there about both boys and girls. So what are you telling me? The father has no ability, has no responsibility to be mechanech his daughter. So in fact, so Tosfos says you have to be mechalik, but the Gemara doesn't. The Tosfos doesn't say how to be mechalik. So one answer is, in fact, by nezirus we can say that the father is potter, but by other mitzvahs he would be chayim. Because after all, the Keren Oda explains that nezirus is not something that the child is regularly going to be doing when they get older. Chinuch would be mitzvahs that they're regularly going to be doing when they're getting older. You have to be mechanech them when they're children. But nezirus is probably going to be a one-time thing. They're not necessarily going to accept it when they become older. So therefore, that doesn't apply necessarily, and we can say that then a man is only chayiv in it for his son, not for his daughter. Another point is also another point of Rabbeinu Peretz and the Rosh say a different point is that it's one thing to educate a daughter to fast, which is a fairly easy thing to do, but not when it comes to Nezirus, where there's a lot of details in it. So then the father doesn't necessarily have a fear to be mechanech to that extent. Anyway, so Rish Lakish can still say that's only Dirabon. Okay, the Gemara continues. We can understand the point of Rabbi Yochanan that says it's a special halacha mission is seen by a nazir. That explains why this concept applies only to nazirus and not to other nedarim. We don't find that a father has the right to impose other kinds of nedarim on his, say, for example, that he should bring a korban or to do sukkah or lulav or whatever. We don't find that the father has the ability to put his son under a neder to do that. So, because of the commandment of Yechon, and again, it's halacha l'moshe b'sinai, and that's how the halacha l'moshe b'sinai was stated. Elo l'Rish Lakish afilu l'nedarim nami, but according to Rish Lakish, shouldn't the same thing apply to nedarim as well? And the answer is, the Gemara says, loy mitboyev, partner. According to Rish Lakish, which is one of those needless to say things. Loy mitboyev l'nedarim v'les loy nivul. Needless to say, the father has the ability to impose a neder on his son where there's no nivul, there's no unattractiveness in it. He doesn't have to grow his hair long and eventually shave. He's not blocked from drinking wine, etc. So then Rish Lakish would say, sure, the father does have the ability to impose such a neder on his son. El afilu b'nezirus the islay nivul. Even when it comes to nezirus, where there is nivul, afilu hochi chayev l'chanchay. Even so, Rish Lakish would say that he's still chayev to be mechanechim, and therefore that the father has the ability, d'rabbanan, to actually impose nezirus on his son and make it stick.
Why is it nivul? Because he can't drink wine.
Because he can't drink wine. So we learned before he actually be ishum novellas. No, he can refer to drinking wine. And it's right. So here the same thing. It can mean that because he can't drink wine or grape juice, remember also. But also because he can't shave and later on he's going to have to shave. He can't cut his hair. So his hair is going to grow long. Eventually he's going to have to shave it down to the scalp. So all those things can be considered part of nivul. But Rish Lakish is saying, nevertheless, even that, the father has the ability to impose on his son. Okay.
30 days isn't that much nivul by a boy.
Well, it depends on the length of the nezirus. But yeah, it's still 30 days considered pera, as we learned at the beginning of the perek, so at the beginning of the sef, does he? Okay. The Gemara says, next. I understand the point of Rabbi Yochanan that it's halacha l'moshim sinai. So that explains why the son or his relatives have the ability to protest, whether just verbally or whether by actually doing a maisa like shaving. Because again, halacha l'moshim sinai is that the father has the right to do that, but the halacha l'moshim sinai also includes that they have the right to protect, to prevent it from taking effect. Fine. Kol kminei and krovim. Do the relatives have the ability? The amin le tigmurei mitzvahs. How do they have the ability to tell the father, don't teach your son mitzvahs? That we should say that if they're moicha, then the nezirus goes away. The answer is kosavar, because Rish Lakish figures kol chinuch de le choshiv le nichalei. Any chinuch that is not important is not something that he wants. Meaning that there's a few different ways of explaining le choshiv. So it can mean that there's bizoyan involved. So Tosfos says chinuch of nezirus involves a bizoyan, because again eventually he's going to have to shave his hair. So therefore we can say that that it's not nicha, the father himself maybe doesn't like, or at least the relatives don't like that, and the son doesn't like it. Therefore he's able to be moicha. Tosfos brings another gerusa, the loy chashiva, meaning that chinuch is supposed to be to make the son important. Here, it's on the other hand, it's going to cause him a bizoy. So therefore, even they would say, yes, the chachamim are saying that the father has the right to do that as a matter of chinuch, but the chachamim are also saying that when the chinuch when the chinuch involves bizoyin, or the chinuch itself is not a type of thing when it's a type of thing that involves bizoyin, then not. The Rosh explains a little differently. He says that when the relatives don't consider it, consider it a bizoyin, then we're saying that the son himself doesn't want it. The chachamim do not want to say, to make a kind of chinuch that the relatives have the ability to say this is a bizoyan, because the son is going to end up listening to them and being over on his nezirus. So to begin with, Rish Lakish is saying the chachamim set up the takana that let the father go ahead and do it, but if the relatives protest, then that amounts to saying that therefore the Nezirus should never have been chal in the first place, because otherwise the alternative would be that the Nezirus would still be in effect, but the relatives are going to tell him, come on, don't listen, this is making a bizoyan for you, come drink wine, cut your hair when you need to, etc. And then he's going to be Ovan is Nezirus, and the Chum didn't want that.
Don't give the father.
Yeah, okay, but that's what we're saying. Okay. So another one, the Gemara says, "B'shleimel of Yechanan do'ama halacha he ben nazir." I can understand the point of Yechanan that it's halacha l'mosh b'sinai by a nazir. Mishum hachi megaleach ba'ovid hakafa. Eventually, what's going to happen at the end of the nazirus? You're going to have to shave his hair, and that means you're going to have to shave his payas as well. So you're going to be over on the issur of loisakifu pasvoshtem. But fine, the same Hashem who told us not to do that also tells us through halacha l'mosh b'sinai that this is an exception. But if the reason is in order to be mechanechem in mitzvahs, haka ovid hakafa, isn't there going to be the problem that eventually they shave off the kids' payas, and then they're over on an isur daraisa? How do the chachamim have the ability to tell you to be over on an isur daraisa? And the answer is, Kosovar, Reshlokish holds Hakofas Kolorosh Midrabanan. We're going to talk about this later in the Masechta. That Reshlokish holds that to shave the entire head would be also only Drabanan. What's also in our Torah, according to Reshlokish, is if you leave the rest of the hair intact and you shave off only the paste. When the Pasuk says don't shave off your paste, the expression for it is Loi Sakifu Pas Roshchem, which means don't round the corners of your head. So what it means is like this. You have your hairline goes. You have your hairline in front by your forehead, then it dips down by your paste, and then it goes back up again over your ear and continues smoothly to the back. So Loi Sakifu Pas Roshchem means don't shave off your paste, and thereby make that you're gonna have a smooth line going from your forehead, from your temples, to the back of your head. Don't cut off the payas that hang below that. But now, if you shave the whole head, you're not doing that because you're not leaving any hair. You're not leaving any circle of hair. So now we're going to have, later on in the Masechta, a machlokas about that. Is that considered Doraisa Hakafas HaRosh? Rish Lakish holds it does not. So it's only Dirabbanan. Well, very well. The Chinuch Dirabbanan. The concept of Chinuch is also Dirabbanan. V'asi Chinuch Dirabbanan V'dochi Hakafas Dirabbanan. So therefore, Rish Lakish says, Chinuch, which is Dirabbanan, can override this case of Hakafas, which is only Dirabbanan. Because the same Chachamim who say don't shave the entire head, even including the payas, in other words, again, according to this way of looking at it, Daraisa would be also to shave the payas without the rest of the head. Darabonin is also to shave the payas with the rest of the head. Fine, but the same Chachamim who said not to do that can also say, on the other hand, in this case, because of Chinuch, you're allowed to. Okay, the Gemara does another one, and then we'll leave the rest for tomorrow. B'shleimel Rav Yechanan d'amar halacha ibn Nazir. According to Rav Yechanan, who says it's halacha l'mosh b'sinai by a Nazir, ahochi megaleach ma'isi korban. Then that's why when he shaves, he brings korbanos. Because fine, the halacha l'mosh b'sinai can allow him to bring korbanos at the end of his nazirus. But if according to Rav Shlokish, the whole thing is only a matter of chinuch, isn't there the problem that you bring a chulin into the azara and you're not allowed to do that? And the answer is kasava chulin ba'azara lav daraisa. Again, the Shlokish holds that the fact that you're not allowed to bring chulin into the azara is not daraisa. First of all, that you're allowed to bring them, and second of all, that you're even allowed to eat them. So therefore, no problem. You can still bring these korbanos. You can still eat the shlamim. You can still eat the shlamim. The koyin can still eat the koyinim can still eat the chatos. Because the whole concept that you're not allowed to do such a thing is only dirabbanan. And again, here the same rabbanan who told you usually not to do that can say over here because of chinuch you should do that. Bizoyin is something else. You're not a bizoyin kodshim because, according to Rish Lakish, why are you even bringing the korbanos in the first place? It's only derabanan. The Chum can't tell you to bring korbanos, you're not chayiv in daraisa. But the answer is that they could, because if we say that chulin ba'azara are not daraisa, fine, we'll consider them the daraisa, we consider these animals would be chulin. But fine, that's okay, they were shechted in the azara as chulin. No problem, you can still eat them. Only the Dirabbanan would we say that if you shecht cholin in the Azori, you can't eat them. But fine, in this case, the Chachamim are saying to override that because of him. Okay, we'll continue this discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Shabbat shalom, everyone.